Hey, it's Mike. I'm on the road. Just driving down to Grand Haven from Traverse City. I'm in the old pickup. Got a big old picnic table on back, and I'm following my wife, who's driving a 91. What is it? Toyota Corolla that we bought for my niece, so we're driving that down here. It's a cute little car. It's only got like 70,000 miles. It's a 91. It's pretty good shape. Got it cheap, and so we're delivering that and delivering this table down to our friend there. And so anyway, just traveling down 131, probably 20 or so miles north of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we'll get on I-96 and go over to Spring Lake and drive through Spring Lake to Grand Haven, offload the picnic table, and then head over and visit Kathy's folks, my father-in-law. So anyway, me and Casey the dog are riding in the truck. Say hi, Casey. Well, he ain't gonna say nothing. He's just laying back there. So, anyway, I haven't had enough time this week to podcast like I thought I was going to. It's been just busy with various little things, nothing of any great consequence. I decided not to buy a car. Well, we bought this Corolla, but that's different. But I decided not to buy myself a new car because I got to looking at it. And you know what? I can take half the money I was going to spend on a new car, put that into the old cars, and have a vastly upgraded stuff. And that'll work. You know, like with the Camry, I got to do the exhaust system. And I got to do struts, and I got another piece in the front end that's rattling. And that should be up to snuff. And then this truck, the only thing I want to do is put a different trailer hitch on it, one of the heavy-duty ones, so I can haul the camper with it. And then Kathy's Cadillac, we need tires on that, and a couple other little minor things, might as wells. So, instead of purchasing a new car, or new-to-me car, I'll never buy a new one, but instead of purchasing a new-to-me car, I'll just put some money into the ones we got and make them last a couple more years, and that'll be just fine. It was funny today, I blogged about it, but I went to the car wash with this old truck this morning before we took off. Because, you know, the thing sits in the woods and the trees spit off all kinds of stuff and, you know, pollen and sap and God knows what else, you know, leaves and branches and whatever. And this thing's been sitting in the woods for, you know, a week or two. And so I brought it over to the car wash, you know, one of those self-serve jobbies where you put the quarters in and pull into the bay and shut her down and get out, and I hear the guy next door talking to, you know, guy in the next stall. He says, man, I wonder why that guy's washing that thing. That's kind of like polishing a turd. It's like, what? I didn't say nothing, but I'm thinking to myself, what? Hey, you still got to see out of the windows. You know, get all the debris off of it. Yeah, okay, it's got a little rust on it. It's, you know, it's a 93. It's old. But, you know what? When I get someplace, I'm just as there as anybody. So, what does it matter whether I'm going in my old rusty truck or a brand new Cadillac that's got $450 payments attached to it? See, mine drives a lot better because I don't drag payment books around. And the other cool thing about this car, or this truck, is I don't have to worry about door dings. Like, you know, so many people, you know, they'll park out in the parking lot and, you know, turn sideways across three parking spots, and, you know, so that they don't get door dings. I don't have to worry about that. You know, if it gets a door ding, it gets a door ding. That's the beauty of having an old car. It just doesn't make sense sometimes. You know, it is nice to have a nice car. And, you know, ultimately I will get something a little more... Well, what should I say? Not more reliable. The Camry's been very reliable. But get something a little... with a little less mileage and, you know, something that, you know, if we want to jump in it and drive to Florida, we don't have to worry about something blowing up. You know, not that we would necessarily jump in the car and drive to Florida, but you never know. It's always nice to have one that you can trust. And like with that old Camry, you know, it's got 200,000 miles on it. You know, eventually, either the engine or the transmission's going to go out. And when that happens, well, then, you know, I have to really think if putting more money in it is worthy. But since everything seems to be working okay right now, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to put some money into it. It's certainly cheaper than car payments. So that's the story on that. It's kind of a dreary day. It's not too bad. It was sunny when we left, but it started clouding over. I guess it's supposed to possibly have light rain later up north. I don't know what it's going to be like down here in Grand Haven, but I imagine it's going to be about the same. It's, you know, Grand Haven is 140 miles south of where I live, right on Lake Michigan also, so it's on the same shoreline, and they get roughly the same weather, which is nice. Of course, you know, here I am going roughly the speed limit, and I go passing a vehicle here. I'm not passing them very fast, but I'm passing them. I'm out in the left lane, and I've stacked up three cars behind me. Oh, well. Such is life. And then all of a sudden they hammer down. Gotta go fast. I've just noticed I set the cruise at, I'm actually doing 65. The speed limit on this road is 70. But I'm sitting here doing 65. And it's comfortable and, you know, we get better mileage. You know, gas is approaching $3 up here. And, you know, no sense wasting gas. We're not in a hurry today. We're going to do a couple things there in Grand Haven, visit a couple people, and take a leisurely ride home, you know. And there's no hurry about it. It's kind of nice. Like I said, get the dog out and blow the dust off him. He hasn't really gone anywhere since he had his little run-in with the van. So he's enjoying riding in the truck. It's fun stuff. So, anyway. Guess I'll stop this for right now and be back when I have something profound.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. Find freshly picked podcasts just for you at blueberry.com. That's blueberry.com.
All right, let's see here. Mike back with you. Further down the road, we're not quite to Grand Rapids. Getting there. And I wanted to, you know, I put another blog post up earlier this week about Leo Laporte. Basically, what had happened was I was listening to the Tech Guy podcast, his podcast of his radio show, and at the beginning of his show, he started going off on GoDaddy, which is fine, you know, if he doesn't like GoDaddy, that in itself is fine, but then he's going off on him because he thinks that, you know, all the pretty girls in the ads are being exploited. know, how dare they do that, and blah, 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 you know, just going on and on and on and on about, you know, like Danica Patrick and, what's her name, Heather Michelle, or I don't know what her name is, or, I don't know, the original GoDaddy girl from the ads, you know, and he's bitching about the Super Bowl and blah, 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 you know, just going on and on and on and on about GoDaddy. Well, at one time, he was advertising for GoDaddy, I think. So I wonder if he got bumped off advertising for GoDaddy, or if they refused to advertise with him, or what the deal was. But something got him off on that, but then he was all disingenuous and saying it's because of the racy ads and all that. And, you know, for a proper liberal like Leo, which, you know, like I said, most of the time doesn't bother me. You know, if he wants to be a liberal, that's fine. But on a show that's about technology, I don't know if that's really appropriate to go off on politics. And then, you know, the other thing, because, you know, he'd already been sort of on my screen as far as, you know, sort of ticked off at him about the Kelly Lewis thing. He had made some comments that were not put out on his podcast, but where he was live on his streaming. At the time, I think he was on Ustream or Stickam or something. But anyway, he was going off about Callie Lewis, that, you know, I guess when she visited him a while back, she had mentioned that she voted for Sarah Palin and John McCain. Leo starts going off to all his buddies about, you know, wow, they're not welcome on my show anymore because I don't want people like that on my network and all that. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, Kelly Lewis, she doesn't get, you know, do her politics on the air. And yeah, she is conservative, or Neil, and that's fine. You know, if you like conservatives or if you like liberals, it doesn't matter. On a tech show, should be, you know, limited to tech. And I think, you know, Leo just, you know, is overstepping, and he's being kind of what do you call that, hypocritical, especially on the GoDaddy thing, because, you know, here he is a liberal, and, you know, what would the liberals care whether, you know, they have sexy ads for a product? The ads work, for one thing, because they get a lot of talk about them, and he gave them a good 10 minutes of publicity on his national radio show. And second off, if those girls thought they were exploited, they wouldn't do it. You know, I mean, think about this. Just type in any sort of sex-related thing on your in Google or Bing or whatever search engine you use, and you're gonna find sites and sites and sites full of you know, naked women doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, why do they do it? Well, why not? I mean, you know, I don't have anything specifically against it, but, you know, are they exploited? No, they're probably very well paid. You know, if you're a hot looking woman, you want to show off a little bit and get paid for it, what the hell? You know, it's a free country. At least this country. I don't know, just that turned me off. I will probably, you know, I said in my blog post that I probably won't listen to Leo anymore, and I probably won't listen to them as much. But, you know, he does have some good guests. You know, I really like Andy Anacco and you know, the guys from Mac Break Weekly, mostly. And, you know, I like Paul Thurrott from Windows Weekly. You know, and I'll probably listen. I mean, you know, but yeah, I'm going to do it a lot less than I was before. And I'm probably not going to listen to the Tech Guy show. Besides that, if you ever listen to the Tech Guy show, you know, he doesn't really give any good real answers to these tech questions. He does, but he doesn't, you know. And I would say at least once an hour on that show, he gives advice that I would say isn't the whole story, I guess. So I wouldn't say it's good advice. I mean, yeah, it's an entertaining show, and Leo's a you know, slick character. He, you know, got the good delivery and all that, but he's fake. You know, he's, you know, like I said, you know, you watch him on, or listen to him on the Windows Weekly, and, oh, Microsoft's great, and this is great, and that's great, and all this is great, and everything he talks about is, you know, super duper, and all that, and then, you know, very same week he'll you know, be on Mac Break, and oh, Apple's, you know, everything they do is excellent, blah 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 blah, you know, and you know, Microsoft sucks and blah blah blah, you know, and he's on his open source show, I forget what that's called, Floss Weekly, I think, but he gets on that Floss show, and proprietary software, that's, it's just bad, and you know, oh, everybody should use Linux and free open source stuff. You know, okay, that's great, but he's a rent-a-host. He's not really genuine. I mean, you listen to me, I'm assuming, you know, because I definitely don't have a brilliant presentation. Sometimes I mangle the English language. Sometimes my audio quality is a little goofed up. Sometimes I say and and blah this and blah that, you know. But what you hear me talk about is, or, you know, how I am is exactly how I am. this podcast and any other podcast that I do, I is what I is. And, you know, there's no fakery to it. You know, I attempted to do a podcast. Some of you probably remember Strange Today. That was just basically me reading historical events. But I didn't have the passion for it. And I didn't, you know, it didn't feel genuine. You know, it felt contrived, I guess would be the right term for that. You know, it felt like, oh, I'm just doing it to do it. And, you know. And so I finally decided that, you know, it's probably best that they stop doing it, because you know, I wasn't getting any enjoyment out of it. I wasn't getting any money out of it, quite frankly. Not that that's my motivation to do this, but especially not this show. And, you know, it was just not, wasn't me. And I think, you know, podcasters and to a lesser extent broadcasters need to be at least somewhat genuine. Yeah, I mean, if you're getting paid to act, well, okay, that's an act. If you're getting paid to do a commercial for something, well, you know, first off, I won't do an ad for something that I don't believe in. You know, and I have advertised for GoDaddy and Citrix and, I don't know, Wall Street Journal. There's a few of them there. And, you know, I believed in everything that I advertised. You know, it wasn't some contrived, made-up thing, but, you know, like, say, if you're paid to make an ad for, you know, Ford cars, and you're really a Chevy guy, well, that's fine and dandy, because you're not, you know, pretending to be a Ford guy, you know, in a format that people expect you to be yourself, or to be honest. But, you know, like, back to Leo Laporte, you know, he will say on his podcast that, well, I don't use any antivirus software, you know, because I know where to go, what not to do, what to do, and all that. And then, yet, he will voice an ad in line on his show for antivirus company, and he said, oh, I use it, and it's the best, and then, you know, you turn around and he doesn't use any antivirus software. And like I don't use antivirus software. I just don't usually have the need for it. First off, I'm mostly using Macintosh or Windows Vista, and Vista is fairly security good. See, there I go butchering the grammar there, but you know what I meant. The thing is, you know, broadcasters and podcasters especially, if they're portraying themselves as being genuine, well, then they need to be genuine. And that's the thing with Leo, you know, he pretends to be this happy-go-lucky guy, and underneath it all, I think he's a frustrated liberal. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with being a liberal, but the problem I see is he portrays one thing on his podcast, and he's not really that way. And, you know, and the same goes for Rush Limbaugh to a lesser extent. Although I do believe Rush actually believes in what he talks about most of the time. But Rush is a showman. And, you know, I don't put any more credence in what he says about a particular thing than I would Leo Laporte or Al Franken or, you know, anybody. You know, it's like Bill O'Reilly on Fox. Now, I don't have cable, so I don't watch him, but I do subscribe to his Talking Points podcast, and I occasionally listen to him on XM Radio. Not his radio show, but his, you can listen to the TV show on the radio. I occasionally listen to him, and a lot of people think he's far to the right. I don't see it. I know he leans to the right, but I don't see him as being, you know, like Sean Hannity makes no bones about the fact that he's conservative, and that's what his show is, you know, he's conservative. And like I said, nothing wrong with that, and that's what he portrays the show to be. Same with Rush Limbaugh, he's on the right, and, you know, and that's what he does on his show. Bill O'Reilly, you know, says he's, you know, more in the middle, or the no-spin zone, or, you know, whatever. Yeah, he does lean to the right a bit, but he's not as far to the right as some of the people on, like, CNN or MSNBC are to the left. But, you know, those guys say, hey, we're on the left. It's like Fox News in general. Okay, their news coverage is not to the right. Everybody thinks it is. But the thing is everybody else is so far to the left that Fox News, being fair and balanced, and they really are, other than their, you know, their talk shows, they're definitely more middle of the road. You know, they'll rag on Republicans, they'll rag on Democrats, you know, fairly equally. But they report the news, they don't report the, you know, they don't, you know, throw their opinions in as much as, say, CNN, MSNBC, NBC Network, you know, all that. And it's just absolutely obvious to somebody, you know, like me. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I would consider myself more of a libertarian, except for I don't join the party. You know, because libertarians, there's some things they do that I don't agree with. But the basic premise of being a libertarian is that your right to flail your fist around is absolute until your fist makes contact with my jaw. Okay? So, in other words, you know, as long as what you're doing doesn't affect me, then do it. I don't care. You know, up in county a little north of us, Leelanau County. It's up in the Pinky Finger area. If you look at Michigan as a hand, it's up in the, it's the Pinky Finger, the Little Finger, they call it. And Leelanau County, several years back, passed a junk ordinance. which means, you know, you can't have a unregistered vehicle that's viewable from the road on your property. Well, that seems reasonable. But, okay, I've got a friend that lives in up there, and he's got an old farm. It's not, you know, not a working farm, but it's a farm. And he has an old Nissan pickup, or Datsun pickup, you know, really old one from the 70s, 60s, whatever, I don't know. He has one of those that runs, and then he has four other ones that he's picked up over the years that he uses for spare parts for his working one. And he only uses this little pickup to, you know, drive around on his farm. It's not licensed. He uses it at, you know, more like a you know, utility farm vehicle instead of a road vehicle. So therefore, he doesn't license it, he doesn't insure it, he doesn't drive it on the roads. Well, he got a ticket for having those trucks parked out behind his barn and somebody could see them. As far as I'm concerned, or as far as a libertarian view of that would be, as long as you, you know, aren't affecting anybody else, and a view I don't see as an effect. But, you know, the fact that he has those old pickups out behind his barn shouldn't be any concern for anybody that drives by. You know, next thing they're going to do is tell him he's got to paint his barn, because it's, you know, or, you know, tell people they can't paint their house a certain color, you know. Now, yeah, if you live in a gated community or something where the rules are, you know, you're in a association and they got rules, well, you signed up for that. But, you know, me as a property owner shouldn't be told, you know, in the normal course of things, I shouldn't be told what color I can paint my house by the government. Or I shouldn't be told that I can't have, you know, an old car in my driveway if I want one. I know out in New York, out on Long Island especially, they have all kinds of goofy-ass rules about pickup trucks. You know, if you own a pickup truck, you can't park it where anybody can see it. You can't park it on the street. You can't park it in your driveway. You got to park it inside a garage. Well, whose business is it? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, people use pickups as their only transportation. And if I choose to drive a pickup, I should be able to drive it anywhere that a car goes. But not in New York. Well, that's one of the many reasons I don't live there. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. It, you know, and I think I've told this story before, but several years ago, along US 31, which is the kind of the main highway that goes through Traverse City, and, you know, there's a section of it that goes along the bay where, you know, there's maybe 100 feet of land before the shore or before the beach. And, you know, literally the road is on the beach and there's people that live across the road. Well, there's a spot that was a little wider and that spot was for sale. Somebody owned it and it was for sale commercially. All these people that lived across the street didn't buy it. And somebody came along and bought it, and they wanted to put up a three-story hotel on the water. So they, you know, put in the permit and whatever, and got the permission from the powers that be to start building this hotel. And you would believe the screams and cries about, oh, you're ruining our view, and blah, 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 we got a right to, you know, see the bay, and this and that and the other thing. Well, yeah, you've got a right to see the bay, but you saw the for sale sign on the property. Buy it. If the view is that important, buy it. And they had to fight in court to get permission. The people that wanted to build the hotel had to fight in court to get permission to put up this hotel, because the people across the street didn't want their view blocked. Well, buy the stupid property. That's the thing, you know. It's like they didn't buy the property, and then now they're trying to restrict somebody who did buy the property and what they can do with it. Yeah, it affected them, but it affected their view. But, you know, it's just like people that move in next to an airport and then bitch about the airplane noise. I mean, come on. You knew the airport was here. The airport was here before you bought your house here. You know, tough crap. Live with it. You know, some people just, I don't get it. You know, and then like those people that lost their view because of the hotel. Okay, now your choice is, well, go buy another piece of property that has a better view. You know, otherwise, shut up. It's just crazy what people think, I guess. I guess I don't think along those lines. That's, you know, the whole thing about being a libertarian is, you know, live and let live. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if you want to smoke dope and all that, as long as you're not, you know, causing problems for me or for anybody else, you know, fine. Smoke all the weed you want in the house. Now, if you get out on the road and you're stoned out of your gourd, well, that's a whole different story. You are affecting other people. But the mere fact that you're smoking weed doesn't affect me directly. Same thing with, you know, like they're trying to push the bars and restaurant no smoking law in Michigan. You know, we're one of the few states left, I guess, that allow smoking at bars and restaurants. And, you know, I smoke an occasional cigar, but, you know, I don't think it's any of their business, okay? If you go to a bar or a restaurant and they allow smoking, and you don't want to be in an environment where they're smoking, then leave. Don't go there. There's enough bars and restaurants around Traverse City, at least, that are smoke-free. And if that's what you want to, you know, you want to go to a smoke-free place, go to a smoke-free place. You want to go to a smoking place, go to a smoking place. But don't force the owner of the business, who made a business decision to allow smoking in his restaurant or bar, don't force him by law to change that. Think that's just ridiculous. You know, you don't have a right to go eat at, you know, in my case, I go to this place called Sheldy's. You don't have the right to eat at Sheldy's in the bar area, which is the only part of the restaurant that's that has smoking, and there's doors and ventilation and stuff. So if you sit up front, you are basically in a smoke-free environment. You sit in the back, you're in the smoking environment. But you don't have the right to sit in the back in a smoke-free environment because the owner of that restaurant has decided that the bar area is the smoking area. You know? And, you know, just like I don't have the right to go into a smoking or non-smoking establishment and light up a cigar. I don't have that right. You know, and if I want to go smoke a cigar at a restaurant, I got to go to a restaurant that allows smoking cigars. And it's pretty simple stuff. And it just befuddles me sometimes why somebody would think they have the right to go to a bar in a smoke-free environment when the owner of that bar wants to allow smoking. And, you know, it's just, you know, and the same thing, you know, they say, well, the employees have to work there. No, they don't. It's a free country. If you're an employee of a bar that allows smoking, well, you knew that when you signed on. So why is it the employers, you know, why should the employer be compelled to provide his employee a smoke-free environment when the employee applied for the job, they knew that there was smoking allowed at that establishment? You know, I'm not saying that smoking's good for you, and I'm not encouraging smoking, but on the other hand, if somebody wants to smoke, that's their problem. Now, you know, if the owner of the establishment says, you know, we don't want smoking in there, well, okay, don't smoke. And I'm fine with that. You know? And that's it. You know, it's owner's rights. You know, if I paid the money to buy a restaurant, I want to be able to dictate what goes on in that restaurant as long as it's, you know, moral and legal, I guess. Or, you know, maybe not even moral, but legal. You know, if I want to hire topless waitresses, I don't think there should be a city ordinance that says that I can't have topless waitresses. And I don't think it would be exploiting the women who would work at a place like that, because they sign on to that. You know, now I can understand a law that says that, okay, well, you have to have, you know, blinders on the windows so you can't see them from outside. And you have to have a sign on the door saying, you know, warning, you know, people under 18 can't come in here and there is nudity and blah, blah, blah. But I don't think it should be the job of the government to say that I couldn't do that if I wanted to. Not that I want to, but, you know, and that's, like I said, that's kind of what I think of as a libertarian or libertarian point of view. I don't really want to put the label on it because I didn't join the Libertarian Party, and I think some of their stuff is a little off the deep end. But, you know, I feel that government should, you know, provide the roads, provide the police, provide the military, and basically stay the hell out of my business otherwise. And, you know, and we're kind of going completely in the other direction, but so be it. You know, and it's like the GM thing. You know, GM filed bankruptcy, and, you know, how's that work? Freaking government picks up 60% of them. That didn't make any sense to me. What should have really happened with those is they shouldn't have got bailed out. They should have either went out of business or fixed it on their own. You know, it's private business. They should do what they have to do. But, you know, to expect the government to bail them out when they've made a bunch of bonehead decisions, like, you know, paying somebody $45 an hour to put lug nuts on a car on an assembly line. I'm sorry, that job just isn't worth $45 an hour. You know, that's why cars cost $30,000 now. You know, really, if the jobs were actually paid what they were actually worth, you know, say $12, $15 an hour to put lug nuts on a car, that's probably even a little excessive, but more reasonable. Well, if, you know, GM, everybody at GM that worked at GM got cut down to the normal wage, and these benefits that they have weren't so ridiculous, you know, you could probably go buy a Chevy for $8,000. The same one that would cost you $25,000. And GM would make more of a profit, or at least make a profit, selling them that way. You know, instead, they're not in the car business. They're in the credit business and the service business. General Motors, or whoever was running General Motors at one time, I believe in the 70s, came up with planned obsolescence. Well, how shitty is that? What that basically means is, you know, the car is only going to last 4 years before you either got to put in a lot of major maintenance or you got to buy a new one. Well, that's not a very good business plan, because then everybody thinks, well, yeah, your cars are pieces of junk. And that's what happened, and Toyota come in and clean their clock, you know, by building a decent car at a decent price. And, you know, and GM and Ford and Chrysler had to get their crap together, and they did eventually get their crap together, and they're making a decent car again. But now they're charging way too much because of their labor costs and all the incidentals. But they're still not selling cars. They're selling the credit. You know, so instead of trying to make your money on all the side deals, make your money on your core business. You're good at making cars. Make good cars at a decent price and make a profit on them. How hard is this? Put me in charge of GM. I'll fix them up. Anyway, I guess I spent a little while there ranting. Feels good though. Anyway, just coming into Greater Grand Rapids. About a couple more miles, I'll be passing Fifth Third Park, which is home of the, the Whitecaps. The West Michigan Whitecaps, minor league baseball. It's kind of a neat little stadium, and haven't been to a game there. Up in Traverse City, we have a baseball team called the Traverse City Beach Bums. They got a little stadium there south of town, and we go to at least one game a year. It's good fun and good hot dogs, and I enjoy the minor league and the minor league baseball. Maybe a bit more than I do the Major League Baseball. Although I haven't been to a Major League game. Oh, that's my GPS. Exit right in 2 miles on I-96. Exit 89B towards Muskegon. I'm sure you were just totally excited to hear about that. Anyway, there's Fifth Third Park. Fifth Third's a bank, by the way. Seems like all the banks are buying these ballparks, the naming rights. It used to be Old Kent Park, but Old Kent got bought by Fifth Third. Of course, we like to call it 1 2/3 Bank. So they changed the name of the ballpark to Fifth Third Ballpark, Fifth Third Stadium. I don't remember what it's called exactly. Fifth Third Ballpark, it says on the sign. Home of the West Michigan Whitecaps. Anyway, that'll be it for now. I don't know if I'll add to this or not. Catch me later.
That's all, folks.